your memory ever.
Check, check, 1, 2. Check, check, 1, 2.
And everything looks so complete when you're walking out on the street, and the wind catches your feet, sends you flying.
Marlene, why are you leaving the school today?
I was told that I didn't have the vaccine and didn't comply to rapid testing, so my day is short.
How long have you worked at this school for?
More years.
Because you were a teacher and now you stick around because you love the kids so much.
I do.
And what school district is this?
And I have enjoyed every minute of the kid, every minute.
You can say you've worked here for 20, 30 plus years?
30 plus, getting close to 35. But so I turn my keys in, and my time's done.
We're very sorry.
Thank you.
All programs.
This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite, orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights, Cuban Army surplus or refusing of the lights. This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite. Is an urban Vietnam, giving deadly exhibitions of murder by napalm. This is Radio Clash tearing up the Seven Veils. This is Radio Clash, please save us, stop the whale. Underneath the mushroom cloud, this is Radio Clash. You don't need that.
on pirate satellite. Orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. This is a radio crash on pirate satellite. This is radio crash.
Thomas Paine podcast on a Thursday. What's happening? Paine in the morning. And, well, we got a big show for you. We're going to turn something loose here. What? We got something to turn loose. A little surprise for you folks. That'll cheer up your week. A crazy week. As I predicted it would be.
Go!
What? Huh? What?
Cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head. You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head. You may cut me,
you may cut me, man,
but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
Why not have a little bit of fun? We got a surprise interview we're going to drop in here. One of the folks rounded up in the January 6th debacle setup, etc., called me from prison tonight, and so we have that call. It's always good when the phone rings and it's your friendly neighborhood correctional facility. Well, it's just par for the course around here. As a journalist of not visiting jail, in jail, etc. As a young buck, I spent some time run-ins with the law. Whatever, man. It all works out. But we have an interesting interview for sure to get a perspective of what's happening to some of these folks. And just blatant disregard for the Constitution. I actually get a kick out of people talking about the Constitution. And this individual actually talks about the Constitution and things like that. And it's heated up in the last couple weeks, really, in the media. People talking about press freedoms and this freedom and that freedom of speech. Press freedom has been dead for a long time. Press freedom went out the window when the FBI hacked into Cheryl Atkinson's laptops and computers and swapped out hard drives and stuff. To me, that was like, okay. I don't give a shit about journalism and journalists. We're fair game out here. And of course, folks know my story and the backstory I wrote about in the book, how we dismantled the FBI in our pajamas. Similar harassment, etc. So I get a kick out of these talking heads rambling on about media freedoms have been infringed on. You fucking guys are asleep. No, you know what it is, actually. I look at some of the guys. They're millionaires. Yeah, the reporters. They're fucking millionaires. So they sit around. They have nothing to worry about. They sit around. And they're armchair freedom fighters. They get on Twitter. They get on their Substack and these other things. They're loaded. You're not one of us. You made it out. Stop pretending that you're fucking down here with us. In the gutter. In the trenches. You're not in the trenches. Fuck off. As I said the last couple weeks, and press freedoms, that's what we're worried about now. They're putting needles into kids. I think we've moved beyond press freedoms. I think when a society starts inoculating by force, by coercion, by fear, its citizens, maybe we've moved past press freedoms. I'm not saying they're not important. They are, but just like everything else, they are an illusion. They can kick your fucking door in at any time and drag you away, as you'll hear tonight from one of the January 6th detainees, which he maintains innocence. He wasn't even in the Capitol, but that doesn't prevent the Justice Department and the FBI from dragging you out of your fucking house in a pre-dawn raid, etc. We've had a couple here at the house where they come in and point guns at the little kids in my house at the time. These guys are beyond wayward and beyond a cartel. We've dealt with them. We may revisit these assholes when COVID's over with. But for right now, we're staying steadfast to our mission of peeling this scheme back one layer at a time. I don't know what level Dante's Inferno we're on at this point, but we continue to plug away. And now a big show tonight. I don't know what's in the news, really. As far as what the Young Bucks have prepped for me. We have some videos, but I don't know what they are. Anyway, gang, I'll know what they are in a brief second. We opened up with a longtime teacher, 35 years, muscled out of a job because she wouldn't take the jabs. If you're on pain.tv, you got to see the video. A very emotional video. She's coming out of the school and et cetera. And this is what they're doing to people, folks. This is what they're doing to people. Divide and conquer. That's the game. Another strange video on Biden. I don't even know how to. He's yelling and he's. It's like it actually looks like a game show. If you remember Richard Dawson from The Running Man with Schwarzenegger, he played a game show host called Killian. And he was out of control. The show was out of control. I watched this. I said, this is like The Running Man or like out of The Hunger Games. This is getting. He's yelling Biden for no fucking reason. I guess he thinks if you yell loud enough and act like you're really, you know, stern, people are going to be like, oh, this guy is serious. No, he's just a maniac at a different volume. We'll go to that in a minute, but. And is he doing a car ad now? It's a combination between Price is Right, The Running Man, and maybe something cheesy like Match Game. Of course, the Match Game in Biden's life is him lining up all of his meds on a daily basis. I think when you watch this video, it's more evidence that he's gone out of fucking control. He's spinning out of control, as a matter of fact, I would say, accurately. And are they going to do something about it, or are they just going to, fuck it, just let it ride? These are dumb Americans, they'll put up with it. And that's how they see you, by the way. We've talked about that dozens of times. There's a lot of headlines. And again, we're making some headlines today as well. We've been breaking some news. Just kind of warming up, to be honest with you. Year 2 is coming up for the podcast, the anniversary next month. And I don't know, I feel comfortable behind the mic. I'm more myself. You haven't seen it all yet. We're easing into it, believe me. You're seeing my smart ass and snark at about 35%. And there's no rush. I plan on doing this for a while, so there's no rush. We'll get to know each other sooner or later. And so coming up on a 2-year anniversary, I feel good. The show's doing well. It's growing. And you folks are helping it do just that. So we owe you folks gratitude. And believe me, when I say thank you and thank you for the support, etc., whether it's on pain.tv or whether it's on the Straight Away podcast, it's heartfelt because if we keep rolling, I might have a chance to dig myself out of the hole that the FBI and Justice Department so kindly made for myself and my family. But we have to keep it rolling. We have to work hard. But beyond that, there's also a concern. What does it matter? Wow. Edgar Winter is fucking bringing... We have to go back and play that. What a voice. If you folks aren't familiar with Edgar Winter, sorry to interrupt myself, but... The point I was going to make before I was so rudely interrupted by Edgar Winter. Let me freeze this. And we'll play that in a minute while I can get a quick drink of tea and some water. What does it matter how well you do if the country goes down the tubes anyhow? You know what I mean? It's like a catch 22 almost. Let's listen to that range of Edgar Winter on Tobacco Road. Let's see if we can catch it. No, that's not it. Big finish here.
Talking about Tobacco Road, yeah, yeah. Tobacco Road.
That's pretty much how my voice has felt all week. But anyway, I love bringing in some of the old school folks who are forgotten or who didn't get the credit that they deserve. We're all in this same bed together since we started this thing. We haven't gotten all the credit that we deserve, and that's okay, because we'll just keep plugging away. Because that's the way it is. A couple things jump out at me when I turn on the mic. We've spoken about this before, and we've shown you the way, and others the way on this, and now it's just becoming news, so to speak. You know, many times we're fortunate to be way ahead of the curve. There's a story breaking that Vermont has the highest vaccination rate in the country. So why are cases surging? I think we did that a month ago. Well, we know why cases are surging. Because the majority of people in the hospitals in Vermont got their jabs. I love how the media dances around these things so they don't get jammed up by these fact checkers. They have to dance around. See, we talk about freedom of the press and things like that, freedom, media rights. When you have to dance around headlines with innuendo, when you have to back into stories, right? Like Bill Clinton trying to sneak into high school prom. And I mean just recently. When you have to back into these things and water down headlines and water down content and ask questions. When I was in journalism school, I was taught you never ask a question in a story. You never put a question mark in a headline. You are in this profession to answer questions, not ask them of the public. You tell the public what they need to know. You don't ask them. You don't put question marks and headlines, and you don't ask questions and leads. We had this one guy, we used to make fun of him all the time. In journalism school, the lead is the first sentence of a story. It's the most important. You want to grab. You have 6 seconds to grab your reader. That's it. And they will make a decision whether to read on or not. So the lead is the handshake, right? You have to grab them and suck them in. Well, every lead he wrote was a question mark. Was a question. We were writing stories about, you know, homicides and murderers. And he was asking questions. Did William Smith killed two people? Thursday? And Trenton? Question mark. And we're like, it's a fucking guy. And the professor's like, dude, you can't ask questions. Everything you wrote was a question. It became like a running joke. The guy was a dope. Most of the people in the communication school were dopes to begin with. But anyway. And we keep seeing these question marks all the time. And so when people talk about press freedoms and things like that, the way journalists are treated, why don't you stand up? If you want to be treated with some respect, do a respectful job and don't ask questions. Don't dance around like a fucking doing a waltz trying to tell people what's going on. Vermont has the highest vaccination rate in the country and cases are surging because of it being the highest vaccination rate in the country. There's no question mark. This isn't fucking... I'm not wearing my green turtleneck like the Riddler. If I wanted to hear from fucking Frank Gorshin, I'd ask him. So I get a kick out of press freedoms and everybody jumping up and down whenever they're threatened. You think of press freedoms happen in other countries when these guys are getting their heads cut off and things like this? I remember when, I don't know if we can talk about that. When I was in Intel, I had a conversation with, what the fuck we'll talk about. When I was in Intel with, let me get the dates. I have to make sure I don't compromise anybody here. It's always tricky when you talk about these things. They pop into my head. This is why I love not preparing. Like, you know, I watch other folks and they're reading from a script. I don't need to read from a script. I just don't need to read from a script. This is back in 2001, 2002. Daniel Pearl was an American journalist who worked for the Wall Street Journal. He was kidnapped and later decapitated by terrorists in Pakistan. And at some point, we had a conversation with top brass at the Wall Street Journal. Could I put a team together? Could I make introductions to extract Pearl? At the time, they were holding him hostage and threatening to kill him, taking pictures of him all the time, holding a daily newspaper and stuff like that. He was making, you know, videos and things like that. Could we go grab him? And I said, well, that's a complicated question. I mean, you're dealing with the State Department. You're dealing with a lot of other things. The quick question is, yes, we could. This is the Wall Street Journal. Wanted to use back channels to get him out of there, to their credit. Well, it became such a shit show at the State Department and everything. State Department said, well, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. And I put a number of different folks together, a so-called team or a loosely knit team, because we didn't have any commitment from the Wall Street Journal. And that time it was owned by Dow Jones. Okay? So it was a little bit different. It's a big deal. And we gave them a price. And I think they were going to jump at it. And there were complications with the U.S. government, like there always are. So I just have to laugh. Everybody else sat around in the media. They weren't worried about Daniel Pearl's rights. Oh, we got decapitated. It's no big deal. And the government certainly wasn't worried about it. Well, to the credit of the Wall Street Journal at the time, they were worried about it, willing to do some back channel. Perhaps they weren't willing to pay the price. I don't know. That's boardroom intelligence that happened in the journal. Not privy to that. But I have to laugh at journalists all around the world who get slain, killed, murdered, maimed. I think about my former mentor, Gary Webb. What happened to him? Nobody really gave a shit about him. You know? What he uncovered with the Central Intelligence Agency, dealing drugs and running guns and flooding Los Angeles with crack and other major cities with crack, and how they came out and ruined him, his own fucking media colleagues at the Washington Post and the LA Times and the New York Times. They did him, man. Did him like a mob boss. Turned against him on behalf of the CIA, on behalf of the White House, etc. So I have a different view of press freedoms and everybody jumping up and down saying, oh my God, this is an outrage. No, the outrage is that the industry is filled with fucking pussies who are ruining this country and have done a hell of a job ruining it on both sides. And it's become a dumping ground for failures who have been drummed out or failed out of other industries. So they say, I'll just be a journalist. And then when they get picked on or something happens, oh my God. It's like the big fucking sissy in the schoolyard who can't stand up for himself or herself. So they go crying to the entire cabal. And everybody gets fired up. Meanwhile, guys like Daniel Pearl go down the tubes. Guys like Gary Webb go down the tubes. But these sissies are too worried about their fucking lattes and whatever the bullshit columns they're writing and the struggles that they have. I just laugh at it. I laugh at it. Press freedom died a long time ago, folks. And anybody who says otherwise is just bullshitting you for clicks and giggles. Now, I didn't expect to talk about that, but it was on my mind, believe me. All these heroes come out of the woodwork. And my question is, they say, well, you don't understand things. Oh, I've gone to court against police departments. I've gone to court. There's fucking legal precedent for me fighting police departments and suing them in federal court and taking on fucking police departments and having them follow you around and threaten you. This is when I was a young buck, 24, 23. I mean, I know all about fucking press freedom. Have you fought a police department in federal court and brought the fucking town to their knees? No, shut the fuck up. My point is that we have bigger problems than this distraction du jour. If you want to be a journalist and you can't handle your shit, get the fuck out.